Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 12, and then verse 1 to 13. The subject tonight is going to be from slavery to rulership, and we are trying to discover our Lord Jesus in the pages of the Bible from Genesis to Revelations. If Jesus Christ is the Word of God, and He is the Word of God, and if the Bible is the Word of God, and it is the Word of God, then Jesus must be found in every page of the Bible. So we trust that God will open our eyes so that everywhere in the Bible we see our adorable Jesus. Amen. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 to 13 says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, On the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Verse 9, do not eat it raw or boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborns in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Verse 13 now. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Hallelujah. Now, I want us to understand that Israel had been in captivity in Egypt, and Egypt is representing the world's system. They had been in captivity for about 430 years. Now, whilst they were there, although they were already the people of God, practically they were not enjoying the kingdom or the royalty, the rule and the realm of God. So it is possible for you to be a person of God, a child of God, and be hemmed in by the arrangement that is in the environment in which you are, hemmed in by the world system, which can prevent you from accessing practically the kind of life God wants you to live as a citizen of the kingdom of God. Now, God's original purpose for Israel was to liberate them from the sway of this world's system to enjoy the kingdom arrangement practically. Now, this kingdom arrangement is what we are enjoying in Jesus right now. If you read Exodus chapter 19 verse 6, you will understand that God's mind was that when he takes the people of Israel out of Egypt, then he was going to send them to the promised land, and they were going to be a special people unto him. And in detail, or more specifically, they were going to be a royal priesthood. They were going to be a unique breed of people on the earth who combine in themselves royalty and priesthood, or being kings and being priests. It is the same as saying that God's ultimate for them to come out of the world system was for them to be strong secularly and strong spiritually. That is God's mind for humanity. And as we near the end of the church age, and as Jesus Christ comes, you will see that his real mind for human beings will start to unfold. And there you see that God wants us to be strong spiritually and strong secularly. Now, if you read 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, the Bible makes us to understand that under Jesus Christ, we have attained unto the status as kings and priests that God had for the people of Israel. But we have to now understand the whole concept of being a royal priesthood. We have to understand the mind of God so that we can enjoy this kingdom concept. So the benefit of this understanding that we are going to get today is that just as Israel was liberated to start enjoying the kingdom system, and they did start to enjoy the kingdom system until they reached Mount Sinai, where the law was given. They were enjoying a wonderful system of God being their king and directing them, and they had everything that they needed. It was so wonderful. Wow. But God is indicating to us that the way that Israel went out of Egypt is a prophetic understanding of the way that those of us in the kingdom of God are going to start to enjoy or experience practically in our lives his kingdom arrangement. Hallelujah. That is the benefit of this understanding we want to get. So if you look at verse 1, God tells Israel through Moses and Aaron, God speaks to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, that verse 2, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So God was telling Israel that the way for them to enjoy his system, experience his wonderful kingdom life of peace and prosperity and preservation and blessings and power and the presence of God and the purposes of God and possibilities and all the immense blessings that we can ever get from God. The way that they were going to start to enjoy it was for them to change the way that they were thinking. They should change the way that they reckon things. So he told them that the month in which they were was supposed to be the beginning of the year to them. In other words, it was supposed to be the first month. That is telling us that we should do something about our beginning. Your beginning is very important. If you read the book of Romans chapter 11 verse 16, the Bible tells us that the first will always affect the rest. Romans chapter 11 and then verse 16. It says that if the first fruit is holy, the lamb is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. So that's a principle, that if your first is holy, then the lump or the heap or the rest will also be holy. And if the root or your beginning point, your first month in the context of Israel, if it is holy, so are the branches, or so are, or so is rather, the rest of the year. So God wanted to impact their beginning, and it is important for us to trace our beginning, not the way that the world traces its origin, but go beyond the world to trace our origin actually to the Lord Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4a tells us that we were chosen in Jesus. God chose us in Jesus before the foundation of this world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. That tells us that before the foundations of this world, God saw us and he chose us. Where did he choose us from? Where were we that God chose us? We were in somebody. That scripture said that we were in Jesus. He chose us in him from the foundation, before the foundation of this world. So you need to understand that your origin, your beginning point is not Adam, because that is how the world or unbelievers, they trace their origin, that we are all from Adam, right? But we should go beyond it and trace our origin, our beginning point, to Jesus Christ. It is important for us to get that one right. Now, if you read Romans chapter 6 also, the Bible makes us to know in verse 10 and verse 11 that we should reckon ourselves dead unto sin, but alive unto God as long as we are in Christ Jesus. That tells us that we should count ourselves or consider ourselves alive to God. Hallelujah. The world do not consider themselves alive to God. But believers, because of what Jesus Christ did for us, because of the blood that was shed for us, because of he being a Passover lamb, we are animated by him, by his blood. We have been activated by him. We have been enlightened by him. We have been given life. We are alive unto God. And you need to understand in your life as a beginning point that you are not dead to God, because God is the one who is going to guide you in your journey from slavery to rulership. So you must know that you are alive to God. When you know that you are alive to God, then you know that God can talk to you, you can talk to God, and you don't need anybody to be in between you and God. If you should have somebody between you and God, then Jesus didn't die. But when he died on the cross, the veil that separated mankind from God was torn from top to bottom. And he was indicating to us, God was indicating to us, that this time, unlike the Old Testament, majority of the Old Testament, you do not need any human being to assess God. That every human being should assess God for himself. Hallelujah. So that God will guide you. He will be your king. He will be a ruler. You enjoy theocracy. God will sit as a king and guide you into the place that he wants you to be. In other words, you enjoy his kingdom system. So it's important for you to consider yourself.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Unlike unbelievers who think that, well, because we are from Adam, we are bound to sin and all that. We are bound to complain. We are bound to live low and all that. You consider yourself alive to God. In other words, as for you, God has animated you. God has given you so much life that you can receive from God for yourself. And that is very important. It is a key to enjoying, experiencing the wonderful kingdom life of blessings that he has got for us. Hallelujah. Let's move on. Now, I need to make you to understand something, that this first month that Israel was told to regard as their beginning is the month Abib. A-B-I-B. A-B-I-B, Abib, or Nisan, N-I-S-A-N. Abib is the Hebrew, all right? Now, Abib means tender or green. Tender or green. In other words, God was saying that right from your beginning, I need you to be tender. Right from the beginning, I need you not to be stiff. I don't want you to be strong in yourself. I want you to be tender in yourself. When I look at you, I want to see that you are not strong in your own self. You are not strong in your own wisdom. You are not strong in the wisdom of Egypt, but you are strong in Jesus. You are strong in his work for you. That is what I want you to get, ladies and gentlemen. If there is anywhere that we must be expert in, that we must be strong in, as people who are living under Jesus, it is in Jesus and in what he did. That must be our strength. That must be something that we must be so strong in that we can teach, we can give people understanding as far as Jesus is concerned. So God does not want us to be strong in our own righteousness, have self-righteousness. He wants us to be strong in his righteousness that he credited to us when Jesus Christ took our sins on the cross. So God says that your beginning, this is what you need to get in the beginning. You need to be tender in yourself, but strong in my son. Tender in what you can do, but strong in what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. I believe that is why Jesus Christ had to die at the place of the skull, Golgotha, so that our mind will be changed. Because as children of God, what is going to transition us from slavery to rulership lies in our heads, in our minds. Hallelujah. So we need to change our minds as children of God in order for us to enjoy practically the kingdom system and its multitudinous blessings. Now let's move on. Verse 3. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the tenth of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a house. Please underline a lamb for a house. A lamb for a house simply means that people of a household should all eat one lamb. There shouldn't be two lambs for a family or for a household. Now, if Jesus Christ is really this Passover lamb that we are talking about, or we are reading about the institution of the Passover, then we need to understand that Jesus is enough to save us and to save all our households. Ladies and gentlemen, the blood of Jesus is enough to save you and to save your house also, not you alone. Hallelujah. In other words, Jesus is enough for us. And when you get born again in your house, it is just an indication that the rest of your family people are also going to be born again. Wow! Because the lamb was not for an individual so that everybody will go for his lamb. The lamb, when it comes to an household, is for everybody. Hallelujah! So, God does not want us to enjoy the kingdom life alone, or practically experience the kingdom of God alone, experience what God has ordained for us alone. He wants us to enjoy it with other people, with our household. He doesn't want us to move into the kingdom system and then our household are still in Egypt. He wants us to carry them along. Hallelujah. No wonder in the book of Acts chapter 16 and then verse 31, Paul and Silas were enacting this Passover night, because the Bible tells us that they were in trouble. They were in stocks. They had bound them. They were in an iron furnace. They needed to be free. But at midnight, they were singing praises to God. They were praying and singing praises to God. And so at midnight, there was an earthquake that shook the place. So this jailer, thinking that the people had escaped, took a knife that he was going to kill himself. And Paul shouted, "Don't kill yourself, we are all here." The jailer rushes into Paul's cell. And then he says, "Sirs, what must I do?" Silas was with him, to be saved. And Paul and Silas say to him, look at his question. His question was, what must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas says to him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved and your house." In other words, Paul was saying that, look, once you get saved, there is something that you may not have asked for, but which should follow on. Your household will also be saved. And that is a blood covenant that God has cut with every believer, sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ, that as long as you get born again, I am going to fulfill my covenant to you, my blood covenant to you, that your households are going to get born again as well. Hallelujah. So God is bound to save your family, your parents, your siblings, whoever you consider your household. God is bound to save them. If even he has to reveal himself to them at the time of their death, God is bound by the precious, impeccable blood of Jesus to do it. And he will do it. Hallelujah. So heaven is going to be full of surprises. And heaven is going to be populated. Why? Because of God's covenant with us, which was sealed in the blood of Jesus. Jesus said the new covenant was in his blood. In other words, it isn't our blood. It isn't with our sacrifice that things must be. It is with a better sacrifice, his blood, that can purchase every one of the ideals of God for humanity. That is why we can realize all the blessings, like our entering into the kingdom system, experiencing the blessings of the kingdom life with our whole household. Jesus paid the price for it. Hallelujah. And so it is possible. And so we need to understand the blood covenant. We need to understand what Jesus Christ did. We need to get the whole picture of Jesus dying on the cross, that he is not just for you and for me, but for our whole households as well. And they will be saved. Hallelujah. Look at verse 4. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Now, beyond your households, God is saying something powerful. Because it is possible for all your house to be saved. Maybe all your family people are born again. So does it mean that you rest on your OS? No. Maybe your household is too small. Like they are one or two people, and so you will want to believe God that not only should your family people be saved, but your neighborhood or your neighbors should also be saved. You want to believe God that not only you should move from the iron furnace of Egypt or the world system that has hemmed us in to poverty, hemmed us in to low thinking, to sin, to trusting in our own strength, trusting in our own wisdom, but you want to believe God that apart from your household, your neighbors also will enjoy the benefits of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So that you don't live in a place where your neighbors are not doing well and only you are doing well. That is not God's plan. God's plan is that as he liberates us to enjoy his life, we will carry other people along and not be selfish. He wants us to carry as many people that our faith can carry. So look at verse 4 again. He says that if the household is too small, look at it. There was provision made for households which were small to go and bring their neighbors to enjoy only one lamb, because the lamb is enough for them. But there was no provision made for large households. In other words, God was not saying that if a house is big for the lamb, then they can kill two lambs. Because to God, one lamb, Jesus, is enough to satisfy every household, no matter how large. So he makes provision for small households to rope in their neighbors, but he doesn't make provision for large households to kill like three lambs. Because Jesus Christ, that one lamb, is an overpayment actually for the sins of the whole world. The past, the present, the future sin, Jesus is an overpayment in such a manner that God benefited from the dying of Jesus. Wow! Hallelujah! So God is saying to us that we should lift up our thinking, not to think like the world, who think about I. I want to be blessed. I want to prosper. I want my things to do well. I want my family to do well. Me alone, me, mine, and my family.
What about your neighbor? What about the other human being who is elsewhere? God wants his people to know that Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we can bless our neighborhood. And we can carry them along. Because the blood covenant, Jesus shedding his blood on the cross, was sufficient for the blessing of our neighborhood also. That is why in Acts chapter 16, in the reenactment or the enactment, that midnight, what happened was that when the earthquake struck, in other words, when God liberated Paul and Silas, he did not liberate them alone. He made sure that all the people in the Philippi jail who were bound, they had handcuffs. Everybody, the murderers, their handcuffs went off. Those who were thieves, their handcuffs went off. The armed robbers, their handcuffs went off. Everybody received a general amnesty. Everybody's sin was forgiven. This one is proper prerogative of mercy. Because of the blood of the Lamb, he frees all the prisoners and say that although you are a murderer, you are a rapist, you are a thief, you are innocent, everybody should be free. Have you thought about it? Why did God do that? Does he want to break the social system in Philippi? Why is he releasing the criminals into the society? God is trying to teach us that because of what Jesus Christ did, we can carry our neighbors along and they can be free, although they are not involved directly. Are you aware that the criminals only heard Paul and Silas praying and praising God at that midnight? Israel, this Passover we are reading about, just some few hours to midnight. God preparing them that at midnight, I'm going to move. So kill the lamb and do something because I'm going to move by midnight. That midnight, although the criminals in the Philippi jail didn't praise God some, it was only Paul and Silas praising God. But when the benefit came, it reached everybody in the jail. God freed everybody in the jail. Hallelujah.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.